welcome everybody. Let's worship our God together. Here we go.
Mighty power.
like this. Oh Lord, our Lord.
Oh Lord, we worship you, Lord, oh God, our God. We stand in awe. Oh Lord, your name we adore, oh God, our God. We stand.
In this holy moment, God is with you, says in Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you as a hero who saves. He rejoices over you with loud singing. He takes great delight in you. He quiets you with his love. Let the Lord quiet you now with his love. Lord, we thank you. We celebrate you, that you are the source of all power and all wisdom. Lord, we thank you that that doesn't come from us, Lord. That comes from you, the creator of all life, the giver of all perfect gifts. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. And we thank you that, Lord, those who would receive your love, the gift of eternal life, you call us sons and daughters in your name. Who are we that we should be called children of the Most High? And yet, that is what your word says, and that is what you call us, God. So we thank you for the gift of eternal life. Lord, we just celebrate just all the work and the powerful things you did with the Women's Conference, Lord. And we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And we pray that that continual work of transformation, Lord, will just carry on. And we pray for all the women who went and all the women who also didn't went, Lord, that you would continue to spur and encourage us, Lord, as a church. So we thank you for what you're doing in the life of this little church in Eagle Rock called Christian Assembly. And all God's people said, amen. Great to be with you guys. My name is Albert. Go ahead and greet your neighbors and say hello. Well, we are excited to celebrate Easter back on our campus and in person. Yes, give it up. feels like it's been like a decade, but it's only been a couple years. But our Easter services will be on April 16th and 17th. Invitations are on your seats, so take that invitation. Not only use it for yourself, but take another one if you want and give it to anybody you know. All are welcome, and so we're looking forward to Easter. Service times are on Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m., so not 11:15 on the 17th. All services will be held in both the South Sanctuary and the North Sanctuary. And for those who don't know, we have a North Sanctuary. It's right across the street, the north side. And so we're looking forward to that. Both sides will have live in-person preaching and live worship teams. We'll celebrate the Risen King with special music and preaching and life-giving music. And we'll also have a special Kids Church Easter program too. If you're watching us online, please RSVP on our website if you're planning to come in person. And again, welcome to our online audience, and great that you're joining us. A couple quick other announcements. Men. There you go. Kind of delayed response. Men. Come on, give me a, yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. Our next gathering is on April 6th. I can't wait for you to join me and Matt and other men to worship and to get encouragement and to pray. It's always a fun time. That's April 6th. They'll be there. We are having a one-day marriage conference on April 2nd called Remodeled. Be encouraged while learning relational skills to help your marriage move closer to God's design. Engaged couples are invited. There is no childcare, and please register online. Proverbs 11:25 says this, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." In just a moment, we're going to pass the offering bags and give our tithes and our offerings. You can also give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website. And if you are new or you're visiting, please feel no obligation at this time to give. Thank you for your generosity. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are the risen King, that you showed victory over death, Lord, and we have hope in a God who is living and active. And so we pray for Easter on April 16th and 17th. We pray for all those who are coming and all those who are inviting. We pray that you would do your awesome, mighty work, Lord. You would save people, Lord. You would encourage the church. You would build up the church. And we pray that, Lord, you would be glorified on our Easter weekend. Give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, my name is Matt. If you're visiting, always such an honor to have you spend this time with us. I want to welcome those of you online as well. Glad to have this time with you as well. And Albert mentioned it a little bit, but I want to shout out to all the women who attended the women's conference. Some of you, yeah, sounds like some of you are here right now, and some of you might be watching online. Over 600 women. Isn't that remarkable? I want to thank everyone who prayed and volunteered and helped to pull this conference off. Thank you to Coley and to Jill and Sandra and to the women's ministry team. Yeah. And thank you to Kathy Christopher. What a gift she is to our church. I'm so thankful for what God is doing among the women of our church family. Well, there's a tree in my front yard that's obviously been there for a very, very long time. And when we first moved into our house, I actually thought this tree was dead and thought I was going to have to cut this tree down. In fact, Mark Pickrell came over to visit soon after Lindsay and I had moved in, and he noticed this tree as well in our yard, and he said to me, "That tree looks dead." And I said, "I know, I think I'm going to have to cut it down." And he said, "Yeah, I think you'll probably want to do that." Then a few days later, another friend of mine stopped by, and he too had something to say about this tree. Only what he said was a complete surprise to me. This friend pointed and said, "Oh, you have a big pomegranate tree in your yard." I said, "I don't know what kind of tree it is, but it's obviously dead. I think I'm going to have to cut it down." And he said, no, don't cut it down. That tree's not dead. It just looks like that in the winter months. And when spring comes, just wait and see if it's not full of green leaves. My friend knew what a pomegranate tree looked like. I'd never seen a pomegranate tree. I had no idea. It looked dead to me. But my friend, with his trained eye of what that plant was, he knew there was more going on under the surface. So I trusted my friend. I did what he told me. I waited for spring, and sure enough, in late spring, that tree was covered in bright green leaves and little red flowers. And every summer, late summer, we have more pomegranates than we know what to do with. Well, we've been considering how to know God, how to personally experience God. And I want you to know that whatever situation that you are in today, whatever your circumstances are, in all our circumstances, God is present and active under the surface. He is at work in your situation. And you may not see it right away. You may not recognize His work, but with trust and obedience, that's what trains our eyes to recognize that God is indeed at work under the surface of our situation. I want you to look in your bulletin. There are some verses there. There's a proverb in the Bible that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." Man, that's hard to do. It's hard to not just want to trust what I see. But don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. Look for what God is accomplishing in all you do. And He will show you which path to take, how to work at that situation with Him. Every circumstance you and I face is an opportunity to trust God and to obediently take the path He tells us to take. And with trust and obedience in any circumstance, that you can have an opportunity to discover God's purpose and how God wants you to participate in accomplishing His purpose. Whatever situation you're in, there's more going on under the surface. Look at John chapter 2. This is a well-known story. Jesus goes to a party, and what's He do? He turns water into wine. He keeps the party going. The next day, it says, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. They were having a lot of fun. So Jesus' mother told Him, "How about you make yourself useful around here?" And here's an opportunity, Jesus. "Dear woman," did you ever talk to your mom like that? I never did. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come. Mom, stop embarrassing me." But his mother told the servants, listen to this, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. And so the servants followed his instructions. They did whatever he told them. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everybody's had plenty to drink, then he brings out the cheap stuff. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, showed what he is made of, and his disciples believed in him. Do whatever he tells you. That's the fault line in this story when everything changes. That's trust and obedience. Do whatever he tells you. You know, there was nothing spiritual about the setting of this wedding. This isn't a prayer meeting where people might expect that they're going to encounter God's glory. They might find his presence. Nobody has come together for that purpose. Nobody's asking Jesus to heal the blind or raise the dead here. The circumstances are, there's no more wine. Nobody's thinking, we desperately need God to work a miracle right now. But one person at the party knows Jesus. Not about him. She knows him. She's Mama. Mary has watched over and watched out for her boy. And she's kept her eyes on him. And even in ordinary circumstances, Mary always looks for Jesus. Always. When people need a miracle, they want to experience God. When we face a crisis, we look for God. When life becomes unmanageable, we're ready for God. Mary has learned something else. Her eyes are trained to look for Jesus in all her circumstances. In the ordinary as well as the emergencies, she's learned to look for Jesus. What's he gonna do? And because Mary looks for Jesus, the disciples decide they better keep their eyes on him too. What is he gonna do? And remember what John tells us when the disciples realize what has happened, that the water, the ordinary water, has become a top shelf Cabernet. And John says, this was the first time Jesus showed them what he's made of, and his disciples believed in him. What do you think God might want to reveal about himself in the circumstances of your life, whatever situation you're going through? How can God's word get obediently applied in your situation? What action is the Holy Spirit inspiring or urging you to take in your circumstances, whether they be extraordinary or they be ordinary? Do whatever he tells you. Trust and obedience can make any circumstance an opportunity to discover God's purpose and how to participate with God as he accomplishes His purpose. So I want to tell you three ways that we discover in all of our circumstances how we have the opportunity to discover what God's doing. First is this: when we're willing to obey whatever God tells us, our circumstances are opportunities to discover what God is accomplishing under the surface, because it's not always obvious. Joseph had 10 older brothers who hated him because they all knew that Joseph was their father's favorite son. Joseph knew that too. And he liked to kind of brag to his brothers that he was a little special. So his brothers hatch a plan. They're going to get rid of their little brother. They meet a slave trader, and they sell their little brother into slavery. Can you imagine? Joseph goes from being his father's favorite son, special son, to being enslaved. He ends up a slave in Egypt. But here's what we find. All along the way, one thing is settled in Joseph's mind. His faith in God, the God of Israel, will be all that matters to him. That's what he holds on to. No matter what, his faith in Almighty God will become all that matters to him. His faith in God will be the anchor that holds him in the chaos that his life becomes. He has some extraordinary moments that get him noticed by people in power. And Joseph, he kind of has reaches a height of significance, and then he's unfairly accused of a crime. He's put in prison. But then he rises up again to a place of great power. He ends up acquiring power in Egypt so that he becomes basically the second in command next to Pharaoh. Joseph practically comes to rule Egypt while the Pharaoh does Pharaoh stuff, whatever that is. And with the power that Joseph has, he never, ever loses sight of God at the center of his life. His faith in God is all that matters to him. Most of you know the story of what happens. There's a famine, remember? But Egypt, under Joseph's leadership, he has stored up a surplus of grain. And so people from all around Egypt end up coming and asking for help from Egypt because they have grain. And one day, who shows up asking for some of Egypt's grain? Joseph's brothers. They haven't seen Joseph since he was that annoying brat that they sold to the slave trader. But now here they are in desperate need of what Joseph has. Can you imagine what would go through your head if you were in Joseph's situation? Oh, now you need me. How about I make you slaves and see how you make out? But that's not who Joseph is. Why? Why? What makes that not who Joseph is? He knows God has been at work under the surface in all of his circumstances, in and around him through all those years. Joseph has experienced God in all of his circumstances through fear and through pain, through loneliness, through anger, through the time he was wrongly accused, through the time that he was imprisoned, through his patience, through his friendships, through his hard work, through his perseverance, through his success and promotions. Through all of it, Joseph has remained trusting and obedient to God, even when his situation looked like a dead end. And so now, at this point in his life, when his brothers show up, Joseph doesn't just see the situation with the perspective of a little brother. He doesn't just see the situation with the perspective of a slave. He doesn't just see the situation from the perspective of a ruler. But instead, Joseph looks at his circumstances from the perspective of his life of trust and obedience to God. And he sees something amazing. He sees God's purpose. In Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." He brought me to this position. Joseph had plenty of opportunities to do his own thing, but he remained trusting and obedient, and eventually, his circumstances became an opportunity for him to discover that God was at work in every situation and to discover God's purpose. Don't give up on doing whatever God tells you to do, no matter what your circumstances. Maybe you've worked to achieve something and you're tired of the obstacles in your way. You had wishes and you had dreams, but you've gotten used to disappointment. Or you've just stopped expecting anything. Maybe you're in a situation and the tree looks dead. The leaves haven't sprouted, but every situation is an opportunity to trust God and do whatever He tells you until He reveals what He's been up to all this time. In every situation, keep asking, God, what is true of your word in this situation? How do I stay aware and obedient to you in this situation? God, I know you're with me. I'm trusting you to lead me, and I'm willing to follow wherever you lead. Here's the second thing that we can discover. When we trust and obey whatever God tells us, our circumstances are opportunities to discover how to participate in God's work. How to participate in God's work. Do you know that God is not just interested in what He does to you or around you or even in you? He is interested in what you will do with Him, with God. God has allowed me on many occasions to watch and to help people come to faith in Jesus and accept Him as the Savior and Lord of their lives. There's nothing like those moments. And I've prayed with men and women of all different ages and backgrounds in all kinds of situations. And I've listened to people pray and accept Jesus. I've been in those moments and gotten to be with those people in this room and in my office and in restaurants and on sidewalks and in my home. And I could go on and on a train and in the rain and on a boat and with a goat. I've walked and I've talked And I prayed with so many different kinds of people through those different situations as they came to faith and accepted Jesus, that God has allowed me, and some of you know this through your own experience, but I've kind of learned almost to watch it happen. I can see it happening oftentimes even before the person does. I can see them coming to faith. I'll be talking to someone who isn't a believer, and I can tell God is beginning to lead this person to faith. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've walked away from those situations and felt like, God, you led that person to faith. I just got to, like, sit there and watch you do it. I got to pray with them, but it was you. And sometimes I will even say to them, you know what? I hear faith starting to rise up in you. You might not even realize it yet, but you're starting to believe. And sometimes they will say, you know what? I think you're right. And sometimes they'll say, I don't know, Matt. I don't know. And I'll say, well, you keep going. You keep pressing in. And I have watched those people come to faith. Those experiences have built my faith for God to do again and again what I have seen him do in those situations. And when we are trusting and living obediently to God, our circumstances, our situations are opportunities for us to discover how to participate in God's work in this world. Your situations are opportunities for God to teach you something of how he operates in our lives so that you come to see situations and circumstances and say, oh, I've been here before. I know what's going on here. I know how to trust God through a situation like this. You know, this looks overwhelming, but you know what? I've seen God do some things in situations just like this that I know I can trust him to do again. Those are ordinary situations that you are in that are opportunities for God to say, notice what I do in situations like this. When the people of Israel finally entered the promised land after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they had to cross the Jordan River. And a whole generation had wandered in the wilderness because they gave up trusting and obeying God. But now, a new generation has a chance. And they have heard the story of God splitting the Red Sea. And so when God presents them with this situation of crossing the river, this generation chooses to trust and obey. They trust that God will do what he has done, and his promises are still the same. Joshua, who is leading the Israelites at this point and leading them to cross this river, he tells some of the elders, collect some rocks from the riverbed and bring those rocks with us, because I don't want to forget what happened today. I want to learn our God does this kind of thing. Bring some rocks and let's set them up in the camp tonight, wherever we stop to camp. And in Joshua 4, verse 6 and 7, he says, we will use these stones to build a memorial. And in the future, your children will ask you, what are these stones here for? And then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever, so that we will not forget what we saw. We were in a situation, we didn't know what we were going to do. God said, cross this river, and we saw what God could do, and we didn't want to forget that, because that helps us believe in another situation and in another situation what God can do. Don't forget what you've witnessed God do. Don't forget the ways God has operated before in your life and in the world. And as you trust and obey Him, your circumstances can be opportunities to find out how He's inviting you to participate with Him. And final word is this, that when we are willing to trust and obey whatever God tells us, we operate as a church that can help one another experience God. We can operate as a church who can help one another experience God when we are living with faith, trusting and obeying whatever He tells us. It's a wonder why, but it is wonderful that God is at work through messy, needy, grace-dependent things we call churches. But when we choose to trust the Lord and obey Him and do whatever He tells us, a local church can be unstoppable. There is nothing like a local church when it is operating in faith and obedience to whatever the Lord tells us. God joins us together into a network of Jesus trusting, God obeying, Spirit empowered people. I'm not alone to make sense of my circumstances. I'm not alone to figure out God's purpose for my life. I have a whole church who can help me recognize and respond to what God is up to in my life. That's why life groups are so critically important to who we are. That's why we have prayer teams available after the services. We get to pray together, and we get to pray for one another, and we get to link arms with others who are trusting and doing whatever the Lord tells us. And there is nothing like that in the city of Los Angeles and in this world. There is nothing like a local church living in obedience to the Lord. We get little snapshots of this through the book of Acts and through some of Paul's letters in the New Testament. We see how the church can operate. Acts 13 tells us, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. That's the guy who's going to be Paul. He's Saul right now. Before he becomes Paul, a local church listened to the Spirit of God that said, set that guy apart. I've got something for him to do. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to that place. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. Here's a church that did whatever the Lord told them. And with the collective strength of the church, Paul and Barnabas did whatever the Lord told them. You see, this invitation that you have from God to live in obedience to Him, that's not an invitation you answer alone. That's not a challenge you face alone. We face that together. We call one another out together to say, hey, let's trust Him again. Let's obey Him. What is He saying to do? Are you crazy? All right, let's trust Him and do that. Do whatever He tells us. Paul later describes his experience of the church in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him, the whole body, talking about the church, fitted and knitted together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. each individual committed to living, trusting, and obeying God. Individual parts that trust and obey Him, they make up a church that helps one another experience God together. I'm going to face some situations in life when I need some others who are trusting and obeying. I'm going to get into situations when I need a church family to speak some truth and love to me and to help me trust and obey my way through some things. There are going to be circumstances that God wants to use as opportunities to call some people out for His purpose. And may we continue to be a church ready to do whatever He tells us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You know, after Jesus revealed His glory at the wedding, Jesus revealed more and more and more about Himself and about His purpose. He revealed more going on under the surface in all kinds of circumstances. All kinds. When people were hungry, when people were thirsty, when people were working, and when people were tired, when people were sick, and when people were well, in conversations, and in fishing boats, and in homes, and on streets, and on hillsides, He took any opportunity, in any circumstance, to reveal who He is, and His purpose, and to show people how to participate in the work that He was accomplishing. So whatever you're living through, God is present. He is with you. He is in that situation with you. And He is active. He is at work. It may be under the surface. You may not see it right now, but He is God. He does not change. He does not stop loving us. He does not stop accomplishing His purposes in us. And in all circumstances, may you trust Him and do whatever He tells you. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to pray with you before we go. I want you to just take a moment before the Lord, before we leave. And I want you to consider, what are your circumstances right now? What situation are you living in that maybe God wants to speak to you about? The Spirit of the living God is present in this place, and He has not stopped speaking, leading, and doing what He has always done. And I want to ask you right now to trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you about the situation you're in right now. It may be a crisis. It may not be. It may be a situation of loss or a situation of great gain. You might be in circumstances that are confusing, or you might be doing just fine. And either way, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that situation. What is He up to? What does He want to do with you? Who has He said He will be with you. Would you receive His presence in your circumstances? Would you choose to trust Him in your situation? Lord, I pray that you speak to us. God, I ask that you do that. I ask, Lord, that you make it clear to people that you're with them. You're reminding them of who you are. You're reminding them of what you have called them to. Lord, maybe they've never really encountered your glory, and just like the disciples at the wedding, they had never encountered your glory, but you revealed your glory to them in that wedding. God, would you reveal your glory to some people in this room tonight, that they might see you for the first time like they've never seen you before? God, I pray for faith to rise up in people tonight. Speak to us, I pray, so that we might do whatever you tell us to do. I thank you, God, for the opportunities in this room, opportunities in families, opportunities at work, opportunities in the city, opportunities in this church for your purposes to be accomplished, for your will to be done. God, I pray in marriages, may your will be done. Lord, in men's lives, God, let your will be done. In the women, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in our lives. And God, would you help us to see and to hear and to know how we can walk in step with your Spirit to accomplish your purposes. May you continue to make Christian Assembly a church that does what you tell us to do, to put you on display, be glorified through us, I pray. And we pray together in Jesus' name, and we say amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Look for Him in all your situations this week. God bless you as you go.